Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Rasulullah, 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 Habiballah, Rasulullah, 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 Rasulullah. رسول الله حبيب الله رسول الله رسول الله On the 12th Rabiul Awwal A light had shone in the sky It was the day of Muhammad A day that changed mankind The birth of Rasul The birth of Nabi The birth of Habib رسول الله رسول الله رسول الله رسول الله حبيب الله رسول الله نبي الله رسول الله بشير الله رسول الله In the cave of Hira Jibreel had come He said, beloved Rasul, you are Nabiullah, you are Bashir, you are Rasul, you are Taha. Rasulullah, Rasulullah, Rasulullah. Rasulullah, Habiballah, Rasulullah, Nabiullah. رسول الله حبيب الله رسول الله رسول الله رسول الله رسول الله حبيب الله رسول الله رسول الله رسول الله رسول الله رسول الله حبيب الله رسول الله When he descended the caves His heart was so full of fear There was only one Who had chased his fears She was the first She was his wife Khadija her name She stood by his side The first of his wives Rasulullah Rasulullah Habiballah Rasulullah Nabiullah Rasulullah Bashirullah Rasulullah
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum and welcome to the mid-morning show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Isub, every Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday between 10 and 11 a.m. Today being the 20th of Sha'ban, 1446, corresponding to the 19th of February, 2025, we have approximately 8 days, 8 or 9 days. We have nine or ten days until the Mubarak month of Ramadan. One should read the Masnoon Dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Sha'ban, wa balighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, protect us during the month of Sha'ban and allow us to see the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. It's a beautiful, cold and wet Wednesday. We've been having this weather since, I think, since Sunday. We've been having this rain, and we shouldn't look at it as a musibat. Rather, we should take blessings and we should take advantage of this ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Because at the time of rain, du'as are accepted. So one should take advantage of this opportunity and make du'a. And also one should follow the sunnah of standing in the rain and making du'a. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us and grant us the hidayat and the tawfiq to practice upon one of these sunnats. Inshallah, we're going to be crossing over to our brother Alpha Sinkosi, and he's going to give us a little bit more as to what's going to be happening on his show between 12 and 12:55. Brother Alpha, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. I'm very well, thanks. And how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. It's been a very cold and wet week thus far. And as we know, we heard yesterday that there was a cyclone that took place in Pretoria North, and a lot of low-lying areas have been flooded and affected. And there's a lot of talks with regards to the water crisis still going on.
Yeah, man, look, what happened in the north of Pretoria yesterday, well, I think we got to be with our hearts beat goes out to the people of Pretoria. I mean, when you look at what's happening, there's still a lot more that's going, a lot more rain that's going to happen. Just pray that it doesn't cause more damage and more harm. But I think, so this is one of the things that I think we've been talking about, that our leaders have ignored the issue of climate change. You know, when you see these patterns, the raining patterns, and how the temperatures keep on fluctuating, well, you can tell that that's the time that we've been warned about. But then leaders of the world, I mean, one for one, Donald Trump, who pulled out of the climate change in France. So it goes to tell that, look, we're led by people that are saving selfish interests there.
No, definitely, Alphas, you know, with that being said, Donald Trump, and that's also a major move that one of the world leaders pulled out from the climate change organization.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's bad, but let's hope that soon the rain will subside and we'll enjoy some sunshine again.
No, definitely. Brother Alphas, what do we have in store for your show from 12 to 12:55?
Well, we're going to open up, Sully, with what is happening within the ANC, the reconfiguration of the ANC. We know that, while they are not forthcoming in KZN, there's now leadership in, we've been told that Gauteng has been disbanded. The two secretary generals of the ANC seems to have given, you know, contradicting messages. Nomvula Mokonyane has told that, look, there's going to be a meeting, whereas Marupini Ramukopa has said that, look, Gauteng, it's been disbanded, but then KZN, there's been new leadership. So we're going to look at that. What does it mean now if you have leaders within the ruling party, you know, seems to be sending different messages to their constituents. But then, what does this reconfiguration mean? What does it take? What does it entail? What it means now to the government of national or government of provincial unity? So we'll be having a political analyst to help us dissect that. Could this be perhaps a plot by the Secretary General Sigile Mbarire saying that he wants certain factions within this reconfiguration to make sure that the current Premier Panyaza Lesufi does not gain or enjoy too much support from the likes of TK Inweza? That's what we're looking at. And then the second part, we are going to talk about the scourge of kidnappings and missing people in this country. What's happening around that? You know, why are we lately seeing a lot of people being kidnapped and there's a lot of people missing in South Africa? What could it be? What's the role of the police, law enforcement officials? Do we have well-trained machinery to deal with such crimes? And then later on, we know that today is the budget speech. We're going to talk to COSATU's parliamentary representative, Matthew Parks, to really unpack for us what, on the workers' perspective, as we know that COSATU is the union for workers. So what do they expect from the speech that will benefit the workers? You know, what is it that they want to see? I mean, you've seen that, look, they think that they're going to reject any tax increase if ever the minister tries that. So, yeah, those are some of the topics that we will be dealing with this afternoon from 12 to 12:55 soon.
Thank you so much, Brother Alphas, and we will catch you later from 12 to 12:55. It sounds like it's going to be a very interesting, and the guests that you have are going to unpack all these current affairs that's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks, man. Thanks for the enjoy the show as well.
Thank you so much, Alphys, and we'll catch you later.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And that was our presenter that does his show between 12 and 12:55, Brother Alphys Nkosi. And he brings us all the latest news, views, and interviews, and he brings on a guest and a political analyst, and also the guests that unpack what's happening in and around in our country with regards to various things that we as the lame person don't understand, and they help us unpack it and understand the dynamics and what's happening behind everything. Inshallah, we're going to be going for a small nasheed break, and when we return, we will continue, and we're going to be listening to some nasiha and some advices from Maulana Sulaiman Qahtani as to how can we, who is a true Muslim, and this with regards to the build-up for the month of Ramadan. Stay tuned. But you can send in your messages on 084-786-3132, international and overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio,
empowering the Ummah.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Allah gives us a workshop, a course of 50 days. Why? To achieve taqwa. Now, what is taqwa all about? And why is it so important that every year we have to go through this course? Why is once off you go for a course? Yeah, every year you have to go through the exactly same course. Now why is it? What's so important about this? That every year, out of the 12 months, 1 month is dedicated to this. Because this is that thing which guarantees our success in dunya and akhirah. It guarantees our success in dunya and akhirah.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Adopt the wafadari. Show your allegiance to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Cry tears of blood. When on Juma you see youngsters with no sign of sunnah. When even on Juma, t-shirts emblazoned, some sports personality, some music personality. For useless tournaments, this ummah will spend millions. Journeys will be undertaken. Why some sports tournament? 22 people kicking a piece of pigskin. When the results are already bought off, my respected brothers, where is the justification?
صوت أهل السنة والجماعة صوت مركز الصحابة.
And we're going to be crossing over to the show. It's a small clip on who is a true Muslim, and this was given a lecture excerpt of a speech or bayan given by Maulana Sulaiman Qahtani. So let's listen to it and understand who is a true Muslim.
Unbelievable intellect and perception which Allah Ta'ala had blessed What a beautiful thing he said. Oh people, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived by what? Weeping. He didn't say a man sobbing. He says if you see a man screaming and crying on the Muslim, do not be deceived that is a good Muslim. Who is a true Muslim? Allahu Akbar. What does he say? A man amongst men, a true Muslim amongst you, is the one from whose and when he speaks, there is weight to his zaban, his promise. He doesn't deceive others.
And that is so true, my dear respected listeners. Marcus Sahaba, a Muslim is safe. A person is safe from others. A person is safe from others who's something about regards to the hands and tongues of others. And it's so sad that in today's day and age, how we have become that we try to, you know, to backstab our next Muslim brother instead of lifting them up and ensuring that they are on the same level, not the exact same level, but just enough so that they can live a comfortable life. Not financially, but give them the support. Give them the moral support of how to conduct themselves. Maybe they've gone astray, or they're finding it hard to find a job. They're finding it hard to find a job and they can't seem to get the right footing. So we as Muslims, we should look out for our Muslim brothers and try and assist them in any way whatsoever, any way possible, you know, because you'll never know how that person, if that person gets a job or if that person succeeds in what they've been trying to do. That person will actually make so much of dua for you. And we as Muslim, we need a person's duas. We need person's duas. That's why when you go to your parents, if your parents are still alive, you take their duas, because their duas will take us far in life. And if you don't have, then look for somebody who would you would regard as a fatherly figure or a motherly figure, and ask them that you know what, please make special dua for me. That's why when you say remember me in your esteemed duas, it's because that we need the duas so we can prosper in life. You know, we can be successful in life as well, because duas is so important that it can change your taqdeer. They say dua can change taqdeer. If you constantly keep on making that dua, that Ya Allah, this is what I want, this is what I want. Consistency is key. So we need to keep on making effort. We need to keep on making that conservative effort of making that dua all the time. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala make it easy for each and every one of us. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. The next clip that you're going to be listening to is by Dr. Yusuf Abdul Mufti Abdul Rahman Mangera. And this is the topic titled, Why Should We Make Our Children Huffaz? Why should we make our children huffaz? So inshallah, let's listen to what Mufti Saab has to say with regards to this. Yeah.
What encouragement would you give to children so that to the parents so that the children can do memorizing the Quran? Interesting. I just attended a Quran completion program, I think it was last week, in one of the areas in West London. And what you understand is that the maturity of any Muslim community in any area is understood through things like a Quran completion of a program of Quran completion. It just shows that they've got a concern. They've consolidated their concern and they focused on preparing huffaz. Now, the one thing I want to mention is that when your children have hifz, there is the benefit that if you have a hafiz, the hafiz can take about 10 people to hajj with him. You can take 10 people to hajj with him if he wants to. He can take 10 people to paradise. He can intercede for 10 people. And I'm assuming that he's going to intercede for the parents. The parents are given a special crown to wear. Now, this is all the incentives, right? However, another incentive that we've discovered, alhamdulillah, it's happening in many places. It's happening in many places in London, in fact. I would say that Hackney has at least 1,000 huffaz. The borough of Hackney, the borough of Newham probably has over 1,000 huffaz. Tower Hamlets probably has over 1,000 huffaz. I don't know what this borough is called. I don't know how many huffaz you have here, right? But you make an effort, it'll happen. There are families that I know where every single kid in that whole generation is hafiz of the Quran. You know, like a family of 5 or 6 brothers and sisters and their children. So everybody is hafiz in that Quran, including the girls, including the women. And you know what? On top of that, they also top at university. When you make your children a hafiz of the Quran, they're exercising their brain. They're exercising their mind and brain. It can only benefit them. I've seen many hafiz of the Quran straight A's in GCSE. Right? Straight A's in GCSE. So don't think that you're stunting their growth. Now, I know in some cultures, 50, 100 years ago, and even as recent as 10, 20 years ago, it was one track or the other track. You either do this or you do that. That's a very, very short-sightedness. Alhamdulillah, in England, especially in England, has actually shown the way of being able to do both. Get the best of both worlds. But for that, you need some infrastructure. You need a place. SubhanAllah, in some areas in East London, for example, there are multiple people outside of the masjid. Masjid has HIFS program, but there are multiple other people within homes and other places that are running HIFS courses because there's just such a demand. Once you start it off with your children, inshallah, it'll just proliferate. Right? Now you might say, I've never had a hafiz in my family. Fine, you start it off, and then inshallah in your generations it will be huffaz. I would say at least start with one child, if not all of them. My perspective is that I think we have an ability, it's where our children are smart. Every child can be a hafiz and then they can do it. I know families that all the children are hafiz, they also have degrees and whatever else, say they're business people or whatever, and everybody's a hafiz as well. So it's not something that's going to deprive you, it's something that's going to enhance you, inshallah. Jazak.
No, definitely, Mufti Saab made a valid point. We should try to encourage our children to take up HIFS classes because it helps them. Mufti Saab says it helps them, which is the truth. When you need to memorize, if you need to remember things in your daily life, and the human mind is such an amazing thing. Look at it. The Quran has 6,236 verses. And I commend and we salute and we say shukran to the parents who take their time out to send their children for HIFS classes, and also the ustads and the asatizas who take out their time in the mornings and in the afternoons. And you know, they have so much of pressure because when you enroll your child into a madrasa, and you as a parent have that zeal, that yearn, that Ya Allah, I'm leaving my child with this ustad. It's a child's initiative, that the child needs to make that initiative as well. The ustad can teach him, but end of the day, it's the child that needs to make that effort. That I want to learn, I want to become a ufaz, because look at the benefits that one will have. It was my yearn and my dream to become a hafiz. I've been to four different Molanas, or to four different madrasas, and I stopped at the same place. I make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants me the tawfiq also to try and continue and become a ufaz. It was always my dream that, you know, to learn the Quran, because I've been, you know, growing up and you listen to different reciters reading the Quran, and you are amazed that inshallah one day, you know, one day I will be able to read Quran from the Quranic verses like that. You know, it's as a child growing up, you have that ambition or you have that zeal that, you know, you want to aspire to be like them. And I've seen a lot of, I know a lot of businessmen as well who are hufaz. And some of them are even molanas that they conduct their businesses. And it helps you in your daily life as well, with regards to remembering numbers and how to interact and how to transact business dealings, because obviously you go to the Quran, and Quran teaches us also how to transact, and also the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi taught us how to do business dealings the halal way according to Sharia. But inshallah, Allah ta'ala make it easy for everyone, inshallah. Our next up is to be how to be productive, and this is also by Mufti Yusuf Mangera. But before we go on, inshallah, we're going to be listening to the Nasheed, Shukriya Hafizu. And now that Ramadan is coming up, I know all the Hufaz and even some of the Molanas are going to be performing Taraweeh, and they're going to be they started their door already. And the famous question when you ask a Hafiz, like, you know what, how's your door? They're like, ish, what? I'm stuck on this para, and you know what? I can't remember this year, or it's so difficult. But we make dua that Allah Ta'ala make it easy for each and every one of them, because it's not a simple task to stand on the musalla and to lead the jama'ah in salah for 20 rakats, and you are the person who's performing the salah and leading the congregation, and there's like maybe 12, 13 safs behind you, and just give or take, there's like, say, 30, 40 people in each saf, depending on the size of the masjid. And that's almost like 200-300 people that are performing Taraweeh Salah. And imagine you are performing 300 behind, you are leading 300 people, and if you make one mistake, all the salah, all the mistake comes on your head, and they'll have to repeat, and you know the whole dynamics behind it. But inshallah, let's go for it, Nasheed, and this is titled, Shukriya Ae Hafizo. If you know of anybody who has become a Hafiz and you'd like to share their story, then send us the message on 084-786-3132, International Overseas Listeners, +27 84 786 3132.
صوت أهل السنة والجماعة صوت مركز الصحابة
Allah Ya Allah Ya Rahman Ya Shukriya e hafizo isse karabo karte ada hifz e quran ke liye allah ne tumko chuna shukriya e hafizo isse karabo karte ada hifz e quran ke liye allah ne humko chuna das azizon ke sifarish ka sume mujda mila isse badh kar hifz e quran ka bhala kya ho sila das azizon ke sifarish ka tumhe mujda mila isse badh kar hifz e quran ka bhala kya ho sila mil gaya hai rab se das be aasiron ko aasira mil gaya hai rab se das be aasiron ko aasira hifz e quran ke liye allah ne tumko chuna shukriya ae hafizo isse karange karte ada hifz e quran ke liye allah ne humko chuna abbu ammi ko to allah taaj kal pehna aayega jiske aage chand suraj ko giran lag jayega abbu ammi ko to allah taaj kal pehna aayega jiske aage chand suraj ko giran lag jayega shart bas ye hai na ho kolo amal mein faasla shart bas ye hai na ho
قولو عمل میں فاصلہ حفظ قرآن کے لیے اللہ نے تم کو چنا
شکریہ اے حافظوں اس کا رہے کرتے ادا حفظ قرآن کے لیے اللہ نے ہم کو چنا
حفظ قرآن کے الفاظ تم نے کر دیے نعمتوں سے دامن تم نے اپنے ہر دم بھر دیے حفظ قرآن کے الفاظ تم نے کر دیے نعمتوں سے دامن تم نے اپنے ہر دم بھر دیے اب عمل کی موتیاں چننے کا آیا مرحلہ اب عمل کی موتیاں چننے کا آیا مرحلہ
مرکز صحابہ وائس آف اہل سنہ والجماعہ.
It's just gone 25 minutes to 11 Central African time. There is quite a few clips of Mufti Yusuf Mangera, but inshallah, let's listen to this one, which is more suitable for the time. And it is practical tips to prepare for one enhance. Practical tips to prepare for enhance Ramadan. And this is by Mufti Yusuf Mangera. So, inshallah, let's listen to the tips that the Mufti Sahib will give us, inshallah.
Just over a month ago, everybody was talking about making New Year's resolutions. I just don't get New Year's resolutions. Why is New Year a time for resolutions? The only difference is that you just had some major parties for Christmas. And then they've done some fireworks on 31st of December. The next day has begun. It's still snowing. Or it's still cold, it's nothing new, and you're gonna have resolutions. What's changed? What's destabilized you? What retreat did you go into to now have a new resolution? The day is the same. It's still a holiday at first. You go back to work on the second or third or something, when the highest number of divorces are registered. What's so special? But if you do want a time for making resolutions, it's Ramadan and then after Ramadan. Why? Because there's so much that we do differently in Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, hamdan kathiran, tayyiban mubarakan fi, mubarakan alayhi. Kama yuhibbu rabbuna wa yarda jalla jalaluh wa amma nawaluh. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidil habibil Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmi d-deen. Amma ba'd. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن صدق الله العظيم. Our dear brothers and sisters, absolutely wonderful to be here in your midst. Never been to Hounslow before. I've been on the underground Hounslow on I think the Piccadilly line or whatever it is. Never been to Hounslow before. I've been to Hayes, I've been to Harrow, but never to Hounslow. And today I'm fortunate to be with you before this Ramadan is coming up. So Ramadan is, I'm assuming that this will not be the first or even the second or the third Ramadan for most of us. Is there anybody here for whom this will be their first or second Ramadan? MashaAllah, your first or second?
First.
Your first? MashaAllah, did you just convert to Islam or what? Wow, SubhanAllah. So, you're going to learn from all of our experiences, inshallah. So you're going to be really better off, inshallah. So it's not our first, for majority of us, it's not our first or second Ramadan. We're probably veterans in Ramadan for a lot of us. We've done it so many times, right? We've done it so many times. Why do I mention that? The reason is that as we're getting older and our birthdays are passing every year, right? We're actually getting closer to our death. And Ramadan is an absolute gift. Ramadan is the boost that we're provided by Allah, a special sales you can call it, a special window of time where Allah is going to just magnify everything. It's amazing how much He magnifies, totally changes the system. So for example, there's one hadith which is in Imam Bukhari mentions it and others, from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that as soon as Ramadan enters, so the first night of Ramadan today, then what would have taken place? I mean, we're 40 days in advance, but if this was the day, then what Allah would have done is the doors of paradise would have opened up. Especially for this month, the doors of paradise are opened up. The doors of hellfire are closed. Right? So, Futihat Abwabul Jannah. And the doors of hell are closed, and the shayateen are locked up. That's a massive change. Put the shaitan out of the way. Shaitan is one of our biggest misguiders. So Allah puts him out of the way. So there's a change taking place up in the heavens. We of course can't see this. We've been told about this. We can't see this. But I guarantee you, do you guys ever feel that the doors of paradise are opened and doors of hellfire are closed and the shaitans are locked away? Don't you feel different in Ramadan? Haven't you felt different? You just feel a bit more easier to do good deeds, a bit easier to avoid bad deeds. And because the doors of paradise are open and Allah wants to shower with blessings, have you noticed that there's a lot of abundance in Ramadan, in everything, including food? Seeing the types of food that come out in Ramadan that don't come out throughout the year. And this is not a joke, but I mean, have you seen that? Where the, mashallah, our women and others get the ability to provide so much in iftar, and people are feeding, and the generosity and the blessing and the barakah and everything. Have you seen that? It's everywhere. There's such amount of sadaqat that people feel generous and people are giving huge amounts of sadaqah. A lot of people want to give their zakat during this time as well. And they contribute, they feed one another. There's dates being distributed. Food being distributed, money being sent. Amazing blessing. There's something going on. So that's what the hadith says, that all of this change Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes. Then what He does, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does to incentivize it for us, He said, look, I'm going to take shaitan away from you as well. Now if shaitan is away, a lot of people are going to say, but I still do sins in Ramadan, I still do certain sins. It's not like it just stops. It's not like I can just stop doing them. It definitely becomes easier, but it doesn't necessarily stop for everyone. So if shayateen are away, then why is it that we still can do sin? So I think there's a very simple answer to that. We have to understand sin. Sin is usually done for two reasons or through two promptings. One is shaitan. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. The one who whispers into the hearts of people, whispers into the chests of people. That's the shaitan, that's the whisperings. There's another source of sin. Does anybody know what the other source of sin is? Why we sin? If I feel like doing a sin now, why would I sin? One is because shaitan prompted me. Whether that be a human shaitan, or whether that be the unseen shaitan, the jinn. The second reason is the nafs. What do you mean the nafs? Why should the nafs prompt you to do a sin? The nafs, if you notice, you can figure this difference out. The nafs will only prompt you to do those sins which you are habituated to do. Because we've already made it a habit. That's why this Ramadan is coming. If you've not already recognized this, Ramadan is coming. Anything that you still feel like doing which is wrong in Ramadan will most likely be something that we're used to doing already, and it's just a habit kicking in, addiction that we have to still want to smoke because you got an addiction. It's that people will say that they hardly ever feel like doing a new sin in Ramadan. A certain sin that they never used to commit. They never listen to music in their cars going to work in Ramadan. Hey, let me put some music on because it's Ramadan. They're not going to do that, are you? You will hardly do a new sin in Ramadan. You will hardly start and initiate a new sin in Ramadan unless you've got some really bad friends or bad company who wants you. Otherwise, it's usually what we're struggling against in Ramadan is usually habits. A recurring habit. Somebody's used to looking at something bad, or is into something, a bad relationship or whatever, or like a smoking, you know, that's what's going to happen. That's one way to understand this. So now, the benefit of Ramadan, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that Shahrul Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, is the one in which the Quran was revealed. Quran is the words of Allah, so it was chosen. So was Ramadan chosen because it was a special month for the Quran to be revealed therein? Or did Ramadan, the month, become superior and great because the Quran was revealed in there? Either way you look at it, it's all good. Because Ramadan includes many, many different types of benefits, including the Laylatul Qadr. As Allah mentions, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ.
Definitely. The Quran, Ramadan is the month of the Quran. As Mufti Sahib ended, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ أُنزَلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only asks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to make dua and ask of Him throughout the year. But Ramadan is a special month, is dedicated to the month of the Quran. We have to exert ourselves. We have to exert ourselves in reading, making Quran tilawat, in performing our dhikr, increasing our durood and salawat on our beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ramadan means to burn one's nafs. And Ramadan teaches us a lot of things as to how we can do things throughout the year, not only because it's the month of Ramadan, but every other month during the Islamic year, that we can do it, not only because of Ramadan, but we have the ability to do it if we only put our mind to it. 15 minutes to 11 Central African time, and this is where we come to the end of our show. We say Jazakallah Khairan to you, the listener of Marka Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Inshallah, at 11, from 11 to 12 will be the bliss of marriage. 12 to 12:55 will be the news hour with Brother Imam Hussein Kosi. 1 o'clock will be our Dhuhr Azan. 5 past 1 to 1:30 will be the tafsir of Surah A'raf. 1:30 to 2 will be the tafsir of the archives at Surah Baqarah. 2 to 3 will be Brother Yusuf Ali. 3 to 3:45 will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A. 3:45 to 4 will be Maulana Musa Akudi. 4 to 5 will be an Urdu lecture. 5 to 7 will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of the tafsir that you'll hear at 1 to 1:30 of Surah A'raf. 7:30 to 8 will be the Maulana Dawood Sidat. 8 to 9 will be the medical files with Al-Amin Templeton, and he will be interviewing the dentist, Dr. Yusuf Sidat. So, inshallah, that will be the lineup from now until 9 p.m., inshallah. From the team of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and the team of the Midday Morning Show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Isuf, every Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays between 10 and 11. Fi amanillah, ma'a salama, salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And also, don't forget, today being Wednesday, du'as are accepted between Dhuhr and Asr. So, please remember us in your esteemed du'as. And also, they remember the Ummah at large, our brothers in Gaza that besieged the Gaza Strip, our brothers and sisters in Lebanon. Remember them in your esteemed du'as. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio,
empowering the Ummah.
Today, nearly every woman, if not every woman in Gaza, has become a khamsa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them as well. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them when they lose their children.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio,
empowering the Ummah.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Allah gives us a workshop, a course of 50 days.
Why? To achieve taqwa. Now what is taqwa all about? And why is it so important that every year we have to